start out here this afternoon, and I want to share on a subject with you that you can always count on God. I was taking a nap this afternoon, and I had my phone ready to go. I had it on a time to get up, and I was in my room, and I was just had my eyes closed, and all of a sudden, my phone began to light up. And you know, they can light up a whole entire room, even though it's dark. And I just thought, well, I just went over to it, and I saw this here, and I think I'd like to share this with you off of Messenger. It was some of our folks talking about the Wednesday food truck, the Wednesday food distribution, and it was part of it. I'll just read some of this here. This is Lindsay from Teaser. She said, weren't we blessed with an awesome and smooth food giveaway? The Lord made a way to feed many in Logan County today. You know, I woke up this morning and that we'd known that there was supposed to be rain. Now, my information said that the rain would be there at 8. Then it said it would be there at 10 a.m. Then it changed. Laura Huckabee said it could be a little later than that. And I was just a little bit concerned. Millie is recovering from an injury that she had in March. And I said, sweetie, I don't know. This might be a better day for you to stay at home today. And so we talked about that a little bit. And I didn't want her to get caught out there. She's had rotator cuff surgery, and she broke both of her wrists, and it was really trying. And she's retired now, but she has always been a go-getter, and she's always been with me in the ministry. No matter how hard it was, we stuck together through thick and thin. So we were going along, and after Lindsay wrote, then JJ wrote, yes, and he held the rein until we finished. Now, the first thing when I pulled in at about 8:45 this morning, where we get our food and load up the truck, they were saying, man, it's just get ready. You'd be lucky if you can't, if you're going to make it to Paris without that rain coming. I was told, make sure that we have the tarps in the truck and the bungee cords so we can tarp that load. And, of course, we did all of that. And I just thought about God and his faithfulness. I thought about all of the Harvest Fest and all of the things that I have seen in 50 years of walking with God in my life. And I don't mean by any means me being in perfection, but God always being all-powerful. And I found this here. The Lord told me, you tell the folks tonight, you can always count on me. You can always count on God. And I'm going to talk about a few of the absolutes of God in just a moment. And then Lindsay wrote again, not to mention, he brought good Christian people together to do God's work. And when I think about the food ministry that Pastor Kelly and Pastor Jeremy started, it's a ministry that brought good people together. They don't all go to this church. They don't have to. They just come and they want to serve. They want to be a part of something that we can say, this is helping our community. And Keisha, she said, God is so good. And DEF, a blessing to be able to be there each week. That's Christy. And I notice all of these are kind of newer folks here and people that are looking for something that they can be a part of. that they can bring their family to, that they can say to their children, this is the way really a community should be. This is the way a church should be. This is the way a city should be. And I believe that God is very pleased with many of the things that are happening here at Paris Christian Center. And you know what? God, you can always count on God. And I'm going to read from the book of Isaiah chapter 54, and I'm just going to read one verse. Thank you, Millie, for praying over this time. Isaiah 54 and 10 says this, "For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that has mercy on you." And there's one thing that we can be sure of, each and every one of us, this whole nation, every person, God has been patient and God has been merciful. And he's saying here, you can count on me, especially if you give me your life and you let me into your family, into your home, into your interests, into what you're doing, you can count on me today. Rain is coming. Somebody was teasing me over there. Man, you are going to get soaked. You guys are, and I just, you know, sometimes it's best just not to say anything but smile. Just smile. And I thought, this is beginning to look like, Kelly pulled out ahead of me, and I thought, this is beginning to look like we are not going to have to tarp this load. You know that so far, as long as we've been doing this food ministry, we've never had to tarp a load, have we? Nope, we haven't. We're prepared to. You have to be prepared. And I'm not saying that we're bulletproof from rain on a Wednesday like that, but so far we haven't had to. And it was just a beautiful time because people were kind of, in agony thinking about, oh my gosh, it's going to be raining, it's going to be windy, our tents outside might be, and who knows how this is going to work. Well, and it just, as many times before, it worked just great. So I think that's awesome. And as I meditated on those thoughts, I got up excited and went into prayer in a time of just looking at the things of God. And, you know, there are some always in God. There are many of them. There are some absolutes in God. For the person, depending on how sincere you are with him, there are some absolutes. I'm going to share with you five always. Now, how many always are there? Way more than five. But I'm going to share something with you this evening that you can take to the bank, that you can build your life on. And number one is this: God is always with you. If you've asked him to come into your life and into your business, God is always with you. And the response to that is, I never have to be afraid. Now, this takes growing in faith. I preached not long ago, when I am afraid, I'm going to put my trust in you. I shared some very intimate things with my life. I've always come off the guy that I'm not afraid of anything. And I'm not afraid of much, but I am afraid of some things. And every day, we started this morning, Millie and I, Heavenly Father, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And then we prayed as I was going out to drive the truck, Father, we commit ourselves into your hands. We commit our spirits. You have a right to do whatever you want to do with us today. And that's the way I left the house, in faith that I was going to go to the other side. Whenever I do anything, bless God, I'm believing I'm going to the other side of it. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible says, Better is the end or a completion of a thing than a beginning of a thing. Anybody can start something, but it takes a certain person with something, a certain something inside to finish something. And I want to say to you, Christian, I want to say to you that believe tonight, God is always with you. He that does not sleep nor slumber, he is always with you. And the response to that is, I will not fear. Now, the word says in Joel, let the weak say, I am strong. You have to start somewhere. 50 years ago, I began to learn these principles, and I began to say it one thing after another, I will not fear. God is with me. I will not fear what man or circumstances can do to me. Number two, God is always in control. He always makes the sun come up and the stars and the moon and all other things as they're supposed to. God is always in control. And if I've seen horror in the body of Christ in the last 50 years, it's this here. Satan attacks us, but if God is always in control, I will not doubt. Now, you have to work on that. That has to do with your faith. Your faith in your walk. Your faith in your new life. I will not doubt. What does Satan try to get you to do? Well, Eve, did the Lord tell you that something bad was going to happen to you if you eat of the fruit? Do you really believe that? He just knows that the problem is, if you eat of that fruit, you're going to be just like God. You're going to be just like him. She doubted the word, the direction of God. How many of you know in this life, there are things that we have to stop being a part of? Amen? How many of you understand that in this life, and I want you to know according to the word, you're always working on your salvation. Yeah. Always. There's always something to work on. I believe in recovery. I have for many years, and this is the best recovery book ever. All the good recovery material comes from this book. God is always in control. And what I mean by that is, yeah, you may go through some things. You may lose some things, but God is always in control, and God will not allow Satan and evil to put more on born-again children than they can bear. Now, people that go on and they just don't want God, we can't fight with those people. We don't ask people when we give them food and do everything else we've done in the last many, many years, 34 years, are you a Christian? We just gave. We just give. We just scatter it out there. We just put it out there. And there's all kinds of people that come here and receive. And it's our joy to give to all of them, because that's the way God, your Savior, your Father, is. It's his joy to do good to mankind. One of the most expressive verses in the Bible. For God so loved the world. In the Greek language, that is so intense, there's no room for any part of him that didn't love the world. That he gave his only begotten Son, that anybody, whosoever, shall believe on him will not perish, but have eternal life. So we give the same way at this church. Our communion service is open, okay? Our doors are open. We don't ask people to have to do certain things or apply to a certain creed. Many denominations do that, if you want to even enter in there. Are you aware of that? Yes, but not here. Because that's not the essence of God. The essence of God is everybody come in. You're all welcome. What can we do to help you? What can we do to serve you? What can we do to increase your faith that there's a God that cares about you and your family and your children and your health and your finances? That's the true way. And there are many good churches like that in this city. Number three, God is always good. God is always fair. In fact, he goes beyond fair into mercy. See, when you go beyond what's right and fair, when you go beyond that, you're going into the goodness and the mercy of God. Blessed are the mercy showers, for they shall receive mercy themselves. God is always good and fair, so I will not despair. You know what that word means? If you get that in your heart, God is always good and fair. God is always giving you more than you deserve. If you believe that, when the trials of life hit you like they hit everybody, you won't trigger down. You won't trigger back into things that you're trying to gain ground on. Starting in 2019, the entire world entered into relapses of every kind. Psychological relapses, bad habits, drugs, alcohol, everything. People lost ground. It blew people away. I'm still shocked every day, and many others are, at how this terrible, wherever this came from, this COVID, wherever it came from, it's killing people. And it's killing people that we know. It's not as important to me, but when I see people that I knew, I was at IGA last night, and there was Diane. Her parents took care of our children. They're our neighbors. She lost her husband. He was way younger than me. And there she was. And she had a smile on her face, and she was bagging up my groceries. And I went and hugged her, and I asked her, "How are you doing?" She said, "I'm doing great." God is still who he said he was. Church, it rains on the just, and it rains on the unjust. Sometimes terrible things happen to good people. To the child of God, nothing will ever happen to a child of God that's going to break them down. God is always good and fair, and you do not have to get into a place of despair. Despair means when you're losing it, and you said, "I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do that. What's the use? Why am I trying?" That is not the mindset of a child of God that has been with the Father, that knows the Father. Number four, always. God is always watching. What? Everything. Everything that concerns you. God is watching. And if you feel like Millie and I do every morning, he has a right to do with me whatever he wants to. I'm ready to stay here. I'm ready to leave. What would please you, Lord? Revelation 4 says that mankind was created specifically for the pleasure of God. And for thy pleasure we were created. Thou art worthy, O Lord. God is always watching. And because of that, I will not falter. I will not let the devil. You know, the devil is seen as a serpent. And many serpents, they have a bite that paralyzes. And when they bite, they just kind of back up a little bit. And in just a few minutes, it begins to take a terrible effect and kill them. And that's what the serpent does. When you're frozen where you won't do anything anymore and you just want to be in bed, and depression, the spirit of depression, the spirit of heaviness comes on you, that's the serpent, okay? That's the serpent. God is always watching what's going on. And I want to say something. Satan is not missing. God knows exactly where he is. The word says at the proper time, he will be grabbed by an angel, by the scruff of his neck, and just tossed into a pit. He's not what he claims to be, and he's not winning. God is winning. There are 7.5 billion people on the planet right now. The word says there's going to be a great harvest. Jesus also said that few there be that find it. If God only received 10% of 7.5 billion people, do you understand how great heaven would be filled even more? Let not your heart be troubled, neither be dismayed. I go to prepare a place for you. I'll never forget about you. I'm coming back for you. My word is my bond. Church, if we just had a service where we just told some of the terrible things that's happening in the lives of us and our families, we'd have to have 5 services and 10 services just to scratch the surface. But you that have come here, you've come here with hope in your heart. I believe God has something better for me, and God has not left me. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. If I go away, I'm coming back. Lo, I am with you to the end of the age, till this is all over. And don't kid yourself. This terrible unfairness and wickedness and things that are happening, it's coming to an end. And we're going to be with Jesus forever. Nothing can stop that unless you fear, you doubt, you live in despair, or you falter. To falter means to make you like the serpent makes its victim, where you won't do anything. You stop going to church. You stop praying. You stop believing. You stop many things. And the world right now, the entire world is depressed. I will give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness is trying to rest on people and take your joy and your hope away. People are going through terrible problems with their children, with their families, with their jobs, with many things, their health. They're forced to make decisions that they don't know the right way. Which, do I take that shot? Do I not take that shot? What do I do? What is the right way for me and my family? You can always hear from God. He'll always tell you. Say with me, I will not falter. Finally, number 5. God always wins. Always. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us to triumph. That's what the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians. Always. Always. God is always victorious. God has a plan for your life. Many of you believe that. If you stick around with God every day, the final answer from us is, I will not fail. Say that with me. I will not fail. And isn't, I know people, they wake up and they feel like they failed so bad, there's no going back. There's no hope. I'm telling you, that's not the truth. I'm telling you, the devil puts up a foul cloud. If the gospel is hid, it is hid to those who are lost. because the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that haven't come to a place of faith, that don't believe. It's not true. If you stay with God, you will not fail. I've got a last verse I'm going to read here. I want to give you this thought, though. I preached last week, be careful not to covet what other people have. Some of you might even remember that. Be careful not to covet. Don't desire something that belongs to somebody else. And before I read this last verse, I just want to tell you, it's still right this week. Be careful not to covet, and I'm going to tell you why. Because God always has something better for you than what you're coveting. He always has. Not just sometimes. Some people stick around until that blessing comes. Right now, there are multitudes of prayers, secret prayers, private prayers, even in this small room, even with this small crowd. And may I say something? God is working on every one of them. God is working on every one of them prayers. The only way that you can miss God and not get is if you fear, if you doubt, if you get into despair, if you falter. Stay with me. My Heavenly Father is always victorious. He always wins. Amen. The last place I want to go tonight, I have just become 70 years old, and I don't know why I feel so great about that. I have embraced it. I never thought about being that old, but it's kind of cool because I feel great. Me and Millie just started a kennel with dogs, so I go out and work with dogs and hunt, and we just do whatever, and we're blessed. And I just want to leave you with Psalm 37 and verse 25. And these are the words of David. And now these are the words of me. I have been young. Now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. In the summer of 1971, at 1765 Cathay Drive, on the east side of San Jose, California, at my mother's kitchen table, with the leading of my Uncle Chester, I said the sinner's prayer in 1971. This is now the year we just passed the summer, 50 summers, 2021. And I can tell you, not in David's life or somebody else, I can tell you in my life, I have never seen God's people. I have never seen them forsaken. I have never, ever, ever seen them forsaken. I have never seen one person. First of all, I've never seen a perfect Christian, according to that they've never done anything. And neither do I stand up here because of that. I stand up there because I am God called to do what I do. In 50 years, I cannot recollect, anytime I try to recollect, I cannot recollect one person that God left in the middle of a tragedy that was his, that was a child of God. I've been young, and now I'm old. I have never, in 50 years, not in David's life, not in the Apostle Paul's life, in my life, the life of Angelo, I have not one remembrance of God not taking care of his very own church. I've never seen that. I've never seen that. Millie, come up here with me for just a moment. And I want to encourage you. When you're in a battle, you're in a battle. There are some things in life that are not pleasant, but there is nothing in life that can take away your walk with God. Nothing. Nothing. Well, sweetie, let me get this microphone for you. We're going to close and we're going to take communion. But do you have any kind of a thought here?
Well, just as we take communion, I just want you to remember, you know, we don't do it. Communion has nothing to do with religion. It has everything to do with relationship. That's what he said, do this in remembrance of me. He didn't say do it because you're Catholic, you're Baptist, you're Protestant. He said, no, do this in remembrance of me. And what are we supposed to remember? Who he is and what he did.
Amen.
Who he is and what he did.
We're going to take communion. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar or make an altar where you are. That's what the Bible says to do. To humbly examine your heart. If there's something that isn't supposed to be there, confess it to Jesus himself and no one else. And then we're going to go to the next part of communion.